Good morning. We're going to call the January 9, 2014 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you'll call roll, please.
Ms. Lucas?
Here.
Ms. Himes?
Here.
Ms. Kundig?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Bournes is going to be running a bit late this morning. He has court, so he should be here probably by 9:30 or so. And Mr. Brown?
Here.
And Mr. Sinos?
Got a quorum.
All righty. Has everyone had a chance to review the December 12, 2013 meeting minutes? I will take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and properly seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say.
Was that second, Mr. Harrington?
Hmm?
Or Mr. Smart?
Let Mr. Smart have it.
Thank you.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication at this time? All righty. Madam Secretary, any announcements?
Yes, sir. Mr. Brown, we have a few announcements this morning. We have an attorney that has contacted us for case number 8, or item number 8, 439 Auburn, Ocean Breeze Homeowners Condo Association. He has court also this morning. He's going to be running a few minutes late, so he asked if we could push the, and I believe 8, 9, and 10 mm-hmm. kind of coincide.
Okay.
So we can move those until he gets here or push it to the end. And then a few other cases are in compliance. Number 3, 13, or CEB 1113-132-1306 North Atlantic Avenue is in compliance as of January 8th. Number 6, CEB 1112-126 for 315 Michigan Avenue is in compliance as of January 3rd. Number 20, CEB 01-14-12 for 110 Monica Avenue is in compliance as of January 3rd. Number 22, CEB 01-14-03 for 1127 South Ridgewood Avenue is in compliance as of January 8th. And I believe that's all I have.
All righty.
Excuse me. Amy, what was compliance consist of on case 6? Was that a demolition?
Yeah.
Yes.
Demolition. Thank you.
22. January 8th. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, as we call you up for your case, we ask that you speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. We will shortly begin our hearing this morning. All members of staff that will be testifying, would you please rise to be sworn in, please?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth and the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
At this time, are there any attorneys present for any of the cases that we'll be hearing today? All righty, we will begin with lien review number 1, which was CB 0807159, property located at 836 South Palmetto Avenue. Is the respondent here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you can come to the microphone, state your name, give us your address, please.
My name is Michael Pastore, and I represent the owner of record, Mr. William Stone. I have an email. I have an email authorizing me to act on his behalf. I believe that Amy has that. Yes.
Okay, sir. We're going to hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, okay?
Yes, sir.
And your last name again was?
Michael Pastore, just
okay.
Like the pastor of a church with the E on the end.
All righty. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, you're going here? Okay, sorry. I don't know what the protocol is.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Anthony Jackson, assistant city attorney and representing the city on and the code board staff. And this is the lien review number 1, CB 0807159. I've discussed this matter with Mr. Garcia, Hector Garcia, and he made a request that this was a property obtained through a tax deed sale, and it had accrued over $33,000 initially, and then and that's not including interest. And as a result of the reduction that had the modification that was done by the commission when we were doing the amnesty program, the it was maxed out at $15,000. So that is the current maximum. And so the staff is requesting $1,500 be paid, which is very customary for their request. And that's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Pastore, you can come to the mic. Staff has recommended that the reduction of the fine be reduced to $1,500. Is that acceptable to you, representing the owner?
Well, I'm the proud owner of an option to purchase the property.
Okay.
And one of the things that was of interest to me is that I want to, I'm a general contractor from Camden County, New Jersey, and I want to build a single family residence there. And,
okay.
But the numbers didn't work, so $1,500 is great. That sounds great.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, is that payable within 30?
Yes, sir. Payable within 30.
When are you going to close on that, sir?
Well, my option is that if I could ask for some indulgence to extend that to around 90 days, because I haven't pulled the trigger on the option. I haven't, lined up some financing. 90 days would allow me to make all that happen.
As long as he understands that this reverts back, and I guess that really affects the owner if something should happen with your agreement, but
no.
It will revert back to its current status if it's not paid within the time period. I'm sure we can wait until the closing if that's what's necessary.
Okay.
Yeah.
90 days earlier if you close.
Yes, sir. 90 days, on or before 90 days.
Did you have anything you want to present, or we can go ahead and see if the
no, as long as it's not contingent upon pulling permits, okay. That's great. Okay.
I think a clear way we can say it is that if this is practical, within 5 days after closing or 90 days, whichever occurs first.
Yeah, but closing may not occur.
Yes.
90 days.
So if the closing occurs in 30 days, then in 35 days it needs to make the pay.
9 days or not, whatever occurs first. Yeah.
Yes.
That's fine.
I'm down with that.
Ms. Kundick?
Now, is this property is just a lot, a vacant lot
it's a
now?
A vacant lot and city water and sewer. There was a previous structure on the property that was demolished.
Yeah, okay.
So I want to build a single family dwelling.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion, reducing the fine to $1,500 payable within 90 days or at closing, whichever comes sooner, or the fine will revert back to its current amount, being capped at $15,000.
I can handle it.
Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded. No. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kundig. Questions?
I thought you said that if it closes before 90 days, if you do 5 days after closing,
usually it's paid that day, closing.
Okay. Yeah, we'll wrap it into that. That's fine.
I second that.
Okay. Well, seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any other questions?
No, I just get some minutes from Amy, when they're available.
We'll get you a copy of all that.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Pastore, for coming this morning, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir. All righty. Case number one is in compliance as of 12/31/2013. Case number two, CB1213135, Lewis J. Stevens Estate, property located at 616 Park Drive. Is the respondent present? All right. Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This case is before the board for imposition of a fine. I discussed the case with Inspector Vicki Langford. She's expressed that there's been little effort from the representative of the state or anyone involved with the property. She is requesting $2,000 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000. It is non-owner occupied.
Has there been any communication with the owner?
No. The only communication I had was the day that I drove by and
cited them, and I told them what they needed to be done, and some outside storage was cleared up. Then they cleared out, and that's where we stand.
So no one's there now?
No, it's vacant now. It's been a huge police issue. It's a mess for the neighborhood. That's why we're looking for the larger fine.
Did you say $2,000 a day?
$200 per day.
Okay. Thank you for correcting that. That was my next question. Thank you, Mr. Harrington. Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent $200 a day with a cap of, is it 15?
$15,000, yeah.
$200 a day with a cap of $15,000 or until compliance is reached. Is there such a motion?
Uh-huh.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion?
Effective today.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 3 is in compliance as of January 8, 2014. Case number 4, CEB 1213136, GEA Investments. Property located at 330 North Peninsula Drive. Do we need to leave these separated?
Well, we have the same request, and it's so we can discuss them jointly.
Okay, and then we'll just make it separate motions.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. Mr. Jackson or Mr. Newell?
Sure. Yes. Just so I can give it all its context, number 4, number 5. Number 4 deals with our fire inspector and its violations related to the fire codes and so forth. And then number 5 deals with general appearance standards and those types of standard violations of the code. The situation is that the owner has made contact with both of our members of staff, one being Mr. Newley, the other being Daniel Garcia, and has indicated that he's in compliance, but it's not. And it doesn't appear to either individual that either one of the inspectors that there's been any real significant effort to do anything to come into compliance. Has anything been done? I think the answer is some things have been done. Has been sufficient? It's been very insufficient. And so they're asking for $100 per day fine on each one of the cases to a maximum of $20,000.
So there has been communication with staff, and the respondent thinks he's in compliance but has not received that indication from staff. Just want to confirm.
Okay. Mr. Newell.
Chairman, members of the board, as far as the communication, after the original violation notice went out, I received a letter outlining everything that I had showed for the notice of violation and stating that everything had been corrected in each specific item. That's the only communication I've had, no return phone calls or anything like that, no communication other than that letter that was sent to me. Violations, this is an apartment that has two or three, depending on how it's set up, two or three separate living spaces. My specific one has there's no fire extinguishers on site and is required. The smoke detectors that are on site and provided currently are not working. Still as of yesterday, the last inspection was performed yesterday by myself. Some of the no business tax receipt that I could find, could possibly be one now. No emergency lighting in the stairwell. The lightweight truss sign currently is not there. And there's been some electrical work done that is used for permanent wiring, such as lighting over a dining room. It's basically what would be an extension cord going to where a light fixture would be. That essentially now that light fixture was taken down and it was just capped off, but it's still going to be considered permanent wiring, so it is not allowed. Those are the violations that I currently have at this moment for this specific property.
You stated that there was not one visible. Do we know if anyone has been applied for the occupational license?
I'm unaware at this time if there is or if there is not.
Just a different fine so that we can have that reflected in the minutes.
Did you say some people are living there?
This was an initial complaint from a tenant, and all the units were occupied at the time. However, there's only one tenant left in there. The other two have left.
But there still is one tenant in there.
That is correct. Okay. That is correct.
Any questions from the board for either Mr. Newell or Mr. Garcia?
The fine is that you're recommending is $400 for each.
What was it, $100 or $400? $100 a day with a cap of 20 for each.
Yes,
$100.
Yeah.
John, I'm just not close enough.
All righty. Any other questions from the board? We will do these in two separate motions because they're separate, but more or less the same motion.
Do you care if there's anybody in the audience who is in case?
That wants to speak?
Yeah. No, I need the respondent here to say it's okay.
Is the respondent here from GEA Investments? Or representative?
Okay.
Gotcha. Chair will entertain a motion fine a respondent $100 a day with a cap of $20,000 plus a $250 administrative fee for the occupational license. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 5. Chair will entertain a motion. CEB 1213132, GA Investments, property located at 330 North Peninsula Drive. Again, let the record reflect the testimony that was provided for this case. Chair will entertain a motion. Fine respondent $100 a day with a cap of $20,000. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 6, which is CB 1112126, a property located at 315 Michigan Avenue, is in compliance as of January 3rd, 2014. Case number 7, CB 061355, Richard Matt and Bank of New York Mellon, property located at 311 San Juan Avenue. Is the respondent present this morning? All righty. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is before the board for imposition of a fine. The inspector, as you can see, this case initiated back on 12-2012. It's since become bank-owned. It was not initially bank-owned. The inspector made contact with the bank on, bank actually received the property in The bank received the notice on 12-24. No action's been taken. Inspector made contact with the bank, made contact with the person, or at least who appeared to be representative of the bank for these types of matters. And they said someone would call him back and never heard back from anyone. As of this date, nothing has been done. No action has been taken. The city is asking for $100 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
Just want one point of clarity, Mr. Jackson. You said the bank acknowledged or made notice of 1224. Is that 13?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right.
And that's verbally.
Yes, I'll ask if the board secretary can clarify that note.
When
this case was on, we had added
the
bank
to the right.
Bank
bill, and
I mailed everything,
including
the past, the previous documents, and the most recent order to the bank by certified mail, and
signed
for it.
Gotcha. Okay.
I spoke to the secretary that said the attorney was in a court, so they didn't respond, but the person that they transferred me to said that he would make sure the attorney received all the information. Contact me back, which he hasn't.
Gotcha. So they've received proper notice and have been notified. All right. That was a recommendation of $100 a day with a cap of?
$15,000.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion. Fine a respondent $100 per day with a cap of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Coombe.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 8, 9, and 10, we're going to hold off till the attorney is here. Case number 11.
Excuse me, I represent the case case paid, and my time is important as an attorney. I'm a general contractor for the Homeowner Association, and I object to you waiting for an attorney while I'm here to respond.
As a courtesy, sir, we do allow time when it's been communicated to us to wait for attorneys.
How long do you wait?
We will move it on the agenda until we're able to get to it, but we will not delay our meeting. We will move it further in the meeting, sir.
Well, can I just get an extension and I could go? That's all we're looking for. We've done the work we're supposed to do, and we're doing the work we're supposed to do.
So. We're not able to hear your testimony because we're not hearing the case at this time, sir. So you can wait until the attorney arrives or until we hear that case. Okay. Case number CB1113124, Laura Schmel and Craig Bryson, JTRS, property located at 126 Rosalind Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This case is before the board for imposition of a fine. The inspector is advised that this property owner is going over and above the requirements and repair and restoration of the property, and so he wants to allow him till next cutoff to be in compliance. He expects that he'll be in compliance by then.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
What does over and above mean when this started last June?
This will be Mr. Fitzgerald, Mike Fitzgerald.
At this point, see the garage now? They've completely redone the garage. They pulled their permits. They put new roofs on it. They did that. That's what the garage used to look like, with rotten wood. The house has now been pressure washed, and they're putting siding on the garage. This is what the garage is going to be looking like. You'll see the work being done. And they have sealed that. The house now has been sealed and pressure washed, so then it'll be painted this month. But that's what the garage looked like. And they took all the rotten wood off and redid that.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah. Was there some confusion last month about the probate status of this house?
No, the owners are right next door. That's what the garage is looking like now. They're really done a nice job.
Ms. Kundick, I don't recall anything as
okay.
Either.
I don't recall anything.
Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent till February 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes. Seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 12, which is CB091399, Louis E. Gonzalez Jr. and Alyssa Thomas. Property located at 332 South Seagrave Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this case is before the board for imposition of a fine. This case went before the board for the first time back in September, on September 12th. The property owner was first notified June of 2013. We reached a point where the issue left was to have a roof completed. That time was extended to allow for the roof to be completed, and to this date it's not complete. So the staff is asking for a $75 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000.
Any questions from the board?
But they have the permit to do it. Is that correct?
I would have to look to Mr. Lopez.
Mr. Lopez, if you can update us, is this the gentleman that was doing the work himself?
Yes, that's correct.
Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion fining the respondent $75 per day with a cap of $10,000 or until compliance is reached. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Mrs. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 13, CB1113128, Luke Childs Jr. and Christine Childs. Property located at 336 Fulton Street. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
You all can come up, state your name, give your address, and be sworn in, please.
I'm Luke Childs.
I'm Sabrina Montgomery, 720 Essex Road.
That's my daughter.
Yes. All righty, Mr. Childs, we're going to hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
Okay.
What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, this is before the board for imposition of a fine as well. You may recall that we were advised that they were going to have to evict a tenant. That has occurred. They have had the eviction. The inspectors informed me that they are working on it and they intend to do the work. We anticipate and expect they are asking for additional time, and the staff is not going to object to a next cutoff as opposed to any imposition of a fine on this case.
Okay.
On both cases, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, that would be on both cases.
Okay. Mr.
The inspector is Mr. Lopez, if you have any further questions.
All righty. Mr. Childs, you can come on back over to the mic. Staff is not in objection to allowing you till February 5th to bring the property in compliance. Is that amenable to you?
February 5th.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent till February 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Hines, seconded by Mr. Smart. Is there any discussion?
Yes, please. Can you tell me what you've done to date in the last 60 days?
We have, let me see. The fence line was full of weeds. We did that. The storage house in the back, that's been demolished. All of the rubbish, the the mechanical appliances, installation of electrical equipment and appliances, the appliances were stolen. So we had to have, it took them to the police department about 2 weeks to figure out that it was burglarized. So they had to come in and, you know, and do what they had to do. But we do have a replacement for all the appliances to be in place. We got that on yesterday. Now, the exterior doors, the interior surface, now the stairs and the walking surface, I got to find out definitely what that is. The doors, I know they went back and put holes in the wall. They punched holes. So we got to complete those things. But everything else except for the doors and the windows, that's the only thing we really have to do. Everything else has kind of been done.
Yeah, we tore down the stores.
Yeah, that's gone. It was just, and that wood that you see, that was left because they were going to use those items, because when they found out they were going to be evicted, they literally went and punched holes in the wall. So now we have to go back and do that in order to be in compliance as well. So
how about that bathroom? How's that looking?
Okay,
right
we
now?
Have to put tile on the floor. We have tile to do. We're gonna go and redo all that.
We did the plumbing in the back.
The plumbing is just the floor, the tile, and getting in there and just cleaning up the whole house.
And the wine. There ain't nobody in there.
And it's vacant.
Good. Okay.
Any other questions from the board? I already asked for the motion.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, okay. All right.
That's the motion.
Gotcha. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We will take the case number CB1113129. Again, property located at 336 Fulton Street by the inspector's request and amenable to the respondent, allowing the respondent till February 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance. We return to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Seconded
by Ms. Hines. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Childs, what we've done is given you until February 5th to bring the property in compliance. Again, please stay in contact with the inspector so that you can be, so that once everything is up to par, he will know.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Case number 15. Which is CB111313131, Mohammed Kabaze, property located at 812 Magnolia Avenue. The respondent is present. Mr. Kabaze, if you come forward, be sworn in, please. And we'll hear from staff and give you an opportunity to respond.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And could you state your name, please?
Mohammed Kabaze.
Thank you.
Mr. Kabaze, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Well, Mr. Chair, this is before the board for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Eddie Lopez. This is a case that the board may remember as well. The last status was that Mr. Kabaze was to repair roof and drainage. And he's at one point he spoke about demoing the property, and to this point it has not been demoed nor has it been repaired.
And there have been no permits pulled?
The status of the permit has not changed as far as its application status. We're not quite sure what's happened with that from Mr. Kabaze's perspective or what he's done or not done. But the perspective of staff is a request for $100 per day fine up to $15,000.
Okay. Before we hear from you, Mr. Kabaze, last time we had to wait till we get an update from permits and licensing. Let's get this cleared now. Has the permit been applied for, just not approved?
The permit was applied for, and it was under review.
That was last month?
Yeah, that was last month, and as of the 7th of this month, no update has been inputted on the permits website, so it's still under review according to the permits information. So the permit is still under review.
I think that the inspector is indicating that we may not have had any direct information follow-up from permits and licensing at this point.
Okay, because what we're being asked is to find the respondent. But he's applied for the permit, and if he can't tear the place down without the permit...
What was the permit he applied for?
Demolition.
Demolition?
Right.
When did you apply for that?
Last month.
Do you know the date?
It was last month, sir, and I just checked with the permitting, and it has not been applied for. I came on the 6th, where the day where we were supposed to do the demolition, and the permit was not applied for, was not issued yet. I called Mr. Garcia on the phone and left a message that the permit has not been issued. We were ready to demolish, but we could not. So as of today, we do not have a permit.
They've had this in there since the 6th, you think?
Since December, I believe the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
10th. Yeah, 10th or 11th. I don't know.
If you're able to say, Mr. Jackson, I mean, I know it's not your area, what's the timeline on them approving permits?
Mr. Brown, the permit could take 30 days, 60 days.
It's
the onus on the property owner to obtain the information. He hasn't brought up the information on the demo on what he's going to do with the permit.
Mr. Chair, I believe the answer is right at this moment that the staff that's presenting to you does not have that information. If you want us to go and try and obtain that from permits and delay this, we can go and do that.
Let's do that. And the reason is we don't want to penalize the respondent if they've done what they're supposed to do. Now, if it's something that's being requested by permits before the permit is issued, that's a whole other matter. So, Mr. Kabaze, we're just going to put you on hold again so that we can get an update from permits so we can see what's going on with the permit, whether it's something they requested of you that you have not submitted or if it's a matter of permits not having an opportunity to issue the permit. So if you don't mind, we will come back to your case.
May I just...
Yes, sir.
Today, I just was in the permitting office, and they cannot locate the permit at all. I gave them the receipt that I gave them for the permit. They said that it was in the upstairs, in the development, I believe. I don't know where it is.
Okay.
So far, I could not get a permit. We were ready to demolish on the 6th. We had scheduled on the 6th. And now we have to delay it until we get the permit.
Right, which is good, which is good. I'm glad you did not go forward with your demolition without the permit in hand. So we're just going to put your case on hold so that we can find out, and hopefully staff versus you as a citizen can find out what's going on with your permit. So if you don't mind, we're going to come back to your case, sir.
Is someone going to contact permits right now to find this out?
Yes, I believe Mr. Lopez will take care of that. I think he has two more cases.
He has two more. We're going to take care of everyone real quick. That way he can get on those. All right, so we'll put case 15 on hold for now. Case 16 is CB1213139, Hazel Joseph. Property located at 817 George Ingram Boulevard. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
In this case, this is for imposition of a fine as well. The inspector's Eddie Lopez. The property is before the board. Again, this was a roof repair issue, and the repair is incomplete. This is one where it was given extra time for after he had sought a permit, and this time it's still not complete. So the staff is asking for a $100 fine to a maximum of $15,000, and I will tender Mr. Lopez to the board.
Communication with Ms. Joseph, I presume?
Yes.
Just
I had verbal contact with the property owner.
Okay.
The roof was supposed to be repaired before Christmas time, and as of the 7th of January, still incomplete. And there's some pictures on the 7th that I took showing the property still non-compliance.
And they haven't made any attempts to communicate to say why not, right?
I haven't heard any contacts, okay. No.
All right.
But they do have a permit?
Yes.
Okay. When was the permit issued? Do we know?
I believe it was in December. I don't have the date in front of me.
Okay.
Work on that, but it was in December.
Okay.
My recollection, I believe it was the first week of December.
Okay.
Was the permit issued to a contractor or the owner?
The owner.
Okay.
I didn't reference it. No.
Any other questions from the board? Staff recommendation was?
I'm sorry. The recommendation of staff is $100 fine to a maximum of $15,000.
Yeah, that's... I guess for a matter of discussion, Mr. Jackson, or question I have as the chair, the permit's been issued, and I know they have an allotment of time with the permit. And if we assess a fine, they'll have to come back to us to have a lien review of the fine that they had a permit to do within an amount of time. Is that correct, more or less?
They would need to, if we assess a fine, they would need to pay a fine. One remedy is to come and seek a review if that's what they so desire. But if they fail to comply at the time of your order, then our position is that they're in violation of the order and we're asking for a fine. And if they comply subsequent to the order, then they have options.
Mr. Jackson, aren't they told when they get their permit they have 3 months or 6 months or 2 months to get the items done. So how can we turn around and find them when we tell them they've got time to get it done? It doesn't seem like there's
I don't believe
consistency.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't believe that's what they're told.
Okay.
The permit will expire at a certain period of time, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, whatever time period. But their time to comply is in response to your order or the order of this board when they know that they have an active proceeding before the board. That the jurisdiction of the board will trump their whatever time periods that are allotable through the permit.
Or at least I understand that. The board is under an order, and that's their jurisdiction, supersedes the permit. But I just want to make sure we don't tell these people that, irrespective of the board's order, you have 6 months to get everything done.
Yeah, and I don't know if they've been, I don't expect that they've been misrepresented in that way. We have an inspector who's dealing with them from the code division. Okay. If they're getting confused in any way, we will double check, make sure that that's not something that's being expressed at permits. But nevertheless,
if I may interject,
I would expect that the inspectors are.
Yeah, if I may interject on there, the contractor or property owner has 180 days for the final inspection by the building. It's not that you have 180 days to complete the work. You have 180 days to do the final, to call in it's their responsibility to call in the building department, have the building inspector come out and do a final inspection or do an inspection on the work that they're doing.
Right. And
it's a call of 180 days. You have 180 days to call in and
to
do
complete
the final.
The work. You have 180 days to complete.
To the final, to get a final, yes.
And right, and to have the final inspection. And, you know, and if we... Okay, all right.
But that's has nothing to do with our board decision, that they're in violation, and they had ample opportunity to go do that, and they also aren't here today. And you haven't communicated with them, which indicates to me some kind of lack of concern about what's going on. Is that fair to say?
Okay.
This is pretty brief.
I agree with Mrs. Coney, but I do know that sometimes when they get the permit, they are told of the 180 days. And I think just more emphasis need to be put on the fact that this board is priority. And I don't think it's always said like that. As you know, some of our people that come before us are elderly. And when you say, here's a permit, and they say, well, how long I got? And you say 180 mm-hmm. days. That is what they believe.
And I agree with you. I think we need to, in the future, eliminate any possible confusion. Mm-hmm. This is something for in staff to get together and talk about, and how are we going to word this so that they don't misunderstand that they're, because these are lay people. They're not dealing with city ordinances. They're not dealing with lawyers, and they do confuse, and we need to eliminate that confusion.
I would submit it that if that's something that's of concern with the board, that both the staff and I would encourage even the board to emphasize, because what actually occurs, these obtaining the permits as they relate to your board orders are occurring after they come before you, and they have been given an order to take action and given a time period for that action to be taken.
Right.
And so when they obtain a permit after the fact or any time in between, if they're not bringing it up, then I think I have reasonable confidence that the staff from the code board staff in their follow-ups and making sure people are complying in the time periods or contacting them regarding that when there's actual contact.
Mm-hmm.
But when we actually have them before us, I think if that extra emphasis can be made, we'll try and think to do it. But I guess this process may be where that extra emphasis can be made.
You know, again, just to reiterate, we just want to make sure, you know, we tell you have 30 days, and they obtain the permit say they have 180 days, and yeah, I'm going to hear 180 versus 30. Just want to make sure that, you know, communication is being made, and I don't know the one-stop remedy to fix it. We just need to make sure that...
Well, we just need to put a caveat on that says, you know, you're under order from the code board.
The problem with Kundek is, as I pointed out before, some people... They think the city. They don't know whether the city's code board or city's building department. As far as they're concerned, city's a city. The issue sometimes is if we have a situation where we give 6 months with a permit, it's not a real dangerous situation. Maybe putting a number on your house, or doing something that's not dangerous is one thing. However, there could be situations where we can't give people 6 months to come into compliance because it's a life safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe we need to be a little. When we go ahead and enter these orders, we need to maybe add to the order wording, irrespective of what information you get.
Mm-hmm.
Permission may apply. Our order takes precedence. So they know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions from the board?
Well, I mean, if this house has been leaking for all this time, we've had a ton of rain. So, right. I mean, the house is going to get completely ruined inside.
Right.
There's just no question about it. So there is some urgency in this matter. And I don't see anybody responding to the urgency. So.
Well, once again, if I may, I just would like to remind the board that the board is ones who are controlling time periods. And if you believe somehow that it's misled or misunderstood, then the board has that power in remedying that as well. We're in good faith. We'll try to do what we can to make sure people understand we're sending out orders as they in response, so they're getting written notice, they're getting contact and opportunity of communication from the inspector, and we're not quite, I couldn't sit and represent and control what's happening downstairs, but as it relates to what's happening in this process from a from the code board and the code division, I believe that the process is as complete as we know it to be from our end.
Gotcha. All right, any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion. Find a respondent $100 a day with a cap of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next case is CB1213140, Helen B. White. Property located at 346 Hobart Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is before the board for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Lopez, Eddie Lopez. There has been no owner contact. The property appears to be abandoned. It's it appears to be vacant. It is vacant. It appears to be abandoned. The only thing that's changed is that the high grass has been addressed. Don't know by whom. Could have been a neighbor. Who knows? And at this stage, the they were first notified October of 2013, and the staff is asking for a $100 fine to a maximum of $15,000.
Jackson, is the house secure?
Yes, it was secured by the city.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, is it possible the city cut it?
It's possible, yes.
It's okay. Possible.
All right, just checking. Got some courteous neighbors out there, but I don't know about cutting that high grass. All righty. Seeing, are there any questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion to fine the respondent $100 per day with a cap of $15,000 or until compliance is reached. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB1213133, Gajanan Incorporated, DBA America's Best Value Inn, property located at 1400 North Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This, as well as before you've imposition of a fine, this is regarding the permit for the deck. The inspectors informed me that the property owners obtained the permit. That's not true. The permit is pending, and so we're asking for a next cutoff for them to come into compliance.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
What does permit
when I say permit, I meant the demo permit. Is what
they're
I'm going
to demo that. They're going to take the deck down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order till February 5th, 2014, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by that time, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving into our new cases, case number CB011401, Gregory Antonik, property located at 260 Williams Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I was just informed that one of the witnesses, which is one of the captains from the police department, is intending to be here to testify, and he is en route from the police department. They were in Comstat this morning.
Okay.
So if we can pass this.
Case number 19?
Case number 19.
Okay.
Until he arrives.
All righty. Sorry for the notice. We'll wait for the officer to arrive, and then we'll call that case up, sir. Thank you. Case number 20 is in compliance as of January 3rd, 2014. Case number 21, CB011402. John C. Windecker, property located at 533 Hillside Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes, sir.
Can you come forward, please, and state your name, address, and be sworn in?
John Windecker, 533 Hillside Avenue.
Raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Windecker, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
Good
Mr. Chair, this is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The issue here is that the property needs to be painted. The inspectors inform me that the property owner intends to sandblast and paint, which will is a little bit more work. And the inspector also acknowledges that he has been shown, and it's been indicated that the property owner is doing substantial work. He's done substantial work internal on the interior of the property, and is planning on substantial work on the exterior. So the staff is recommending that this property owner be allowed till March for compliance, and would request a February progress report. And the inspector for this case is Michael Fitzgerald, and I'll tender him to the board if you have any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Fitzgerald at this time? Mr. Wendecker, please, if you can come to the microphone, do you acknowledge that the violation did exist at the time of notice?
Absolutely.
Staff's recommendation is to allow you until March to bring the property into compliance, but give the progress report to either the inspector or yourself to the board at our February meeting. Is that amenable to you?
Mr. Chairman and the board, I expressed yesterday in a meeting with Mr. Fitzgerald that I'm very heavily involved with the New Smyrna Balloon and Sky Fest. I'm one of the committee members. The Balloon and Sky Fest takes place at the end of March. I will be very, very busy until that time, and I requested to Mr. Fitzgerald that possibly we could extend this to the middle of April, when I will have everything complete. If that would be amenable to the committee, I would be very grateful.
Okay.
Do you live there?
Absolutely.
You live there. Okay.
Staff's I guess if he's communicated that with you, you've already stated your position.
It's been considered, and it's, yes, you're correct. Okay. The staff has stated its position.
Any questions from the board for either staff or Mr. Wendecker? Any motions?
I move that we find the property in noncompliance and establish March cutoff date as the compliance date with a February progress report.
Is there a second?
In between.
And there's a second by Ms. Himes. Motion on the floor is considered it's by the owner's acknowledgement, noncompliance with a March 5th compliance date and a February 5th progress report. To the board or respondent to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Wendecker, what the board has done is giving you until March 5th to bring the property into compliance, but also a progress report by our February 5th cutoff date for our February 13th meeting date. If you will stay in communication with the inspector, you can avoid having to show up to the board yourself, but either way, we will need an update at our February 13th meeting. And again, just stay in communication with the inspector if you run into any complications, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case number 22 is in compliance as of January 8th, 2014. Case number 23CB011404, Jerry Weaver. Property located at 604 Casson Avenue. Is the respondent present? You can come to the microphone, state your name, give us your address and your relationship to the respondent. If you are not the respondent, please.
My name is Jerry Sizemore, Jerry Weaver. I live at 604 Casson Avenue. I am the owner of this house.
Okay. You'll raise your right hand and be sworn in, please.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Ms. Weaver, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
She said her name wasn't
Weaver. It was Weaver.
It was.
Mr. Mr. Chair, this is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. In addition to the item cited, the inspector, one, wants the staff to know that the property is still in noncompliance. All appearances from the staff is that the property is vacant. He had had no contact. In fact, he's had no contact with Ms. Weaver, and this is his first viewing of her. I don't think they've had contact since she's been here. And the staff is asking that you find Ms. Weaver in noncompliance and give her till next cutoff to bring the property into compliance.
Ms. Weaver, if you can come forward at this time, as you're making your way forward, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
All of those violations existed except I have been trying to clean up the yard. I took the shingles off the roof. I swept the roof. I have cleaned the yard as best I could. I have done this in between appointments with my dying husband, who has been up and back and forth to Palm Coast, to Orlando, to Shantz. And I have not had as much time as I would like to consider your request to do the things that I need to do. I have done it as much as I can. I have pulled the back shed. I have gotten the grass clipped. I have done everything except for the exterior walls in the house. I have tried to do as much as I can.
How much time do you think you would need, Ms. Weaver, to bring the property into compliance?
I'll need at least 3 months. I am asking this because I have a busy schedule with my husband, who is dying of radiation poisoning. And I would like this extension to get everything that I need to do done. We only have the one income, so we have to do as we can and put the bills first.
I have a question for you, Mrs. Weaver. How long has the property been in this condition?
Almost a year.
So it was fine before that?
Yes. I have been cited by code enforcement one time before because I put up a tent in the yard and I had to take it down. But I have maintained as much as I can.
Has this property been occupied?
Yes, ma'am.
When was the last time it was occupied?
The previous owner was 14 years ago.
And it's never been occupied in 14 years?
No, I took over the property from the owner. I bought the house.
And then you live there?
Yes, ma'am.
But you don't live there now?
I do live there now.
Oh, you do live
yes,
there
ma'am.
Now. That's what I'm trying to establish.
Yes, ma'am. My husband and I both live there with two outside animals and three animals inside. And that's all that it occupies.
Any other questions from the board?
What is the dark on the windows? Is that just screening?
That's screening, ma'am.
That's just screening?
That's screening. I've got to rip that down and repair it again.
So that's a porch there?
Yes, ma'am. That's a porch that the dog goes on to sleep on.
It says on here, Mr. Stenson, plumbing system hazards. Could you explain that?
I'm just waiting for the pictures to scroll through.
Okay.
To where you see the, right there.
Uh-huh.
That's where the city water meter is, which gives us the impression that there's a problem with water. Water may have been shut off. Well, back and forth. This is the condition that it was in yesterday morning.
So that the top just needs to be spinned back onto the cover?
I would respond to that, please.
I was just asking staff what would need to be done, but definitely, if you can tell us why
the
meter
city,
covers off. Go ahead.
We had an $1,800 bill from the city for water that we had not used, that they said we had used. I asked for inspections. I asked for extra time to get together this money. They wanted it right away. or they were going to turn our water off. We asked for a new meter to be put into that, and there was a leak on their side of that street. So we have been back and forth trying to get the water meter in compliance so that I could pay the bill, so that that's why that cover is like that, because we have to turn the water back on and off periodically to flush it through the system.
Mr. Jackson, go ahead, Ms. Times.
So, Ms. Weaver, what you're saying is that you go out to keep, because the problem isn't solved about
they
the
say
amount,
that we,
you go out and cut it on and off to
defray the bill. As much as we
bill.
Can, yes, ma'am.
Mr. Jackson, Ms. Weaver is asking for 90 days. I've heard the staff's position, just wanted to confirm. Staff is saying next cutoff.
Well, as I indicated, the staff had no contact and had none of the information that Ms. Weaver just shared. And this is complaint-driven, and maybe even the complainant is not necessarily aware of the information that Ms. Weaver just shared. If indeed she's working on it and she is doing what she can over the time period she suggested, in good faith, if she's doing that in good faith, the staff is okay with allowing her that time period. And I believe she asked for 90 days.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Based on her sworn testimony of her circumstances.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes. Does any of this work need permitting?
She will need a permit to address the driveway.
Okay.
She'll need a permit if the roof repairs are extensive. And if she's replacing the windows as opposed to just fixing the glass, she'll need a permit for that. And obviously for the plumbing system, she's already involved with the city to rectify that.
Either way the board votes today, Ms. Weaver, I would encourage you to stay in contact with Mr. Stinson so that there's an open line of communication between you and the inspector for the property, so that there's not that gap that has existed prior to today.
I apologize for that.
No problem. It happens. It happens. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till April 2nd, 2014 to bring the property into compliance, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Ms. Weaver, is given you until April 2nd, 2014 to bring the property into compliance. Again, we heavily encourage you to stay in contact with the inspector so that if you run into any complications, he will be made aware of it, so that if you need more time, he can make that known to the board. But as of now, you have until the 2nd of April to bring the property into compliance.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am, for your time today. Case number CB011405, Charles E. Davis, property located at 1014 Continental Drive. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, this is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. This is also complaint-driven parking in the yard. And over the time of inspection, the inspector says that it's been parking all over the yard and there's adequate space to park it in the driveway, and he's asking for there to be a finding of noncompliance and that the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until February 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance, to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB011406, property located at 1301 Continental Drive. Morris J. Small, Jr. is the respondent present. Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Similar situation, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is compliance, non-compliance, Inspector John Stinson. This is also complaint-driven, owner-occupied property, and the owner is parking. And as you can see from the picture, there's outside storage, and the violations still exist.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till February 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB011407, Alvis Lee Baines, property located at 891 East Coquina Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This one, again, is for compliance, non-compliance. The inspector is John Stinson. This inspection and the violations were complaint-driven. The property remains in non-compliance. The inspector asks that you find them in non-compliance and give them to the next cutoff to come into compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance, allowing the respondent until February 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart,
second.
Seconded by Ms. Himes. All in favor? Any discussion? Sorry, was that Ms. Lucas?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Seconded by Ms. Lucas. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same time. Motion carries. Case number CB011408, Myra and Krishna Boley, property located at 728 Derbyshire Avenue. Derbyshire Road, is the respondent present?
Respondent.
Please come forward, sir. State your name, give us your address, and be sworn in.
Yes, my name is Vincent Pecoraro. I live at 99 Fairway Drive, Ormond Beach, Florida. Pecoraro, P as in Paul, E-C-O-R-A-R-O. Yes, I do.
Mr. Pecoraro, what's your relationship to the Boleys?
No relationship outside of the fact that I was the private investor who financed the house for them. I initiated foreclosure procedures back in June of 2012. It took me 21 months to get them out of there. On November 23rd, I had the title of certificate, but I had to wait on the 13th, and I had to wait another 10 days. My first entry into the house was November 23rd. It was trashed from one end to the other inside. On December 29th is when I found a letter on the door. And I did contact Mr. Stinson just to say, hey, I'm the new owner. It's now, you know, my property.
Okay.
The things that are there, I think the three or four things. The biggest thing is that swimming pool. And believe me, all I need is 30 days, 40 days, whatever. I'll have this place cleaned up like I do all my properties.
Okay. We just need to add you on to the list to be notified, Mr. Pecoraro. And based on your statements, do you
Yes.
acknowledge that some or all of these violations existed?
Well, not when I took over. The electric cord, I assume, was pulled out. They had a cord running back to the sheds. That's no longer there. As far as the electric and the water, obviously I'm going to put that, it'll be in effect probably by Tuesday.
Okay.
But the biggest thing is the swimming pool, getting the debris out of there and figuring out what happened. There's not a pool motor there.
Okay.
I need to get a pool person in there and check it and find out whether it can be salvaged.
Okay. How much time do you think you need to get all that done?
Believe me, what needs to be done, I can knock out in 30 days real easy. When will your next meeting be?
It would need to be done by the 5th.
By the 5th. I think I can get it done then, but I'll be in contact with Mr. Stinson.
All righty.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on one second. Mr.
Sure.
Jackson, we just did that in reverse order.
Yeah, all of that was exactly what we want, and I mean what we agreed to.
Okay.
The only thing that, just a little clarification, you had said he needed to be added for notification, but as property owner, he would be the one responsible and ultimately the one affected if it's not completed. So
right.
He is now the listed violator, so we'll be putting him in, substituting him as
okay.
The person on the on the violation, only as the property, recognizing him as the property owner.
Okay. And Mr. Picarero, if you can make sure that we have your correct mailing address and everything before you leave, sir.
I'll do that.
All right. Based on your acknowledgement, the chair would entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till February 5th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
Yes. The one issue that concerns me is the unsecured pool. I think that needs to be taken care of immediately.
Well, the unsecured pool, there's a gate on each side of the house going back there. Now, there are gates. Now, the gate on the left, I see that it is pretty well busted up. So I can get that gate put in easily enough. And as far as there is a fence around the entire pool, is in there are trees, I think, on... just about surrounding the entire property.
I think the danger to possibly children in the neighborhood warrants immediate security of that pool.
Well, yeah, and that will be my first endeavor, because the other things, like I said, the one is done already, and when I get the electric and water turned on, that's basically it. The swimming pool is the problem.
Gotcha. Mr. Picarero, I think just so you know, the board is very sensitive to open pools, but since you have a structure around the pool, if you can make it a priority to get the fencing structure to the point where it is secured, I believe that will be amenable to staff. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Stinson. Making sure that the fence is secure around the pool would be amenable to making sure the pool itself is secure at this stage.
That's correct. To secure the pool, he would just have to fashion some sort of lock on the gates.
Okay.
Yeah. That can be done.
When?
Well, within the 30 days, but I'm going to get on that come Monday morning.
Fine.
Oh, anything else? Yeah. Well, what, you want me to put locks on the gates?
I think we should add that into the order.
Okay.
Yeah. As I said before, time periods are well within your authority.
Okay.
Right. All righty.
I'll work on it today, tomorrow, probably by the weekend. I'll have the gates, and then if you want me to contact Mr. Stenson, I'll do that.
The problem is that if you don't do it, the city's going to do it and lien your property.
Well, you know what? I've got a swimming pool on my own property up in Ormond Beach, and I've got a fence around it, but I don't have locks on my gate to get in there. I don't understand.
Well, the swimming pool code requires a certain kind of a lock, like on the gates.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal.
Well, the one gate is working fine. It's the other one that, and believe me, I'll have that done before the weekend is up.
Who made that motion? Mr. Harrington, will you amend your motion to add securing of the accessory structure to the pool to be secured within the next...
2 days. 2 days.
Within 24 hours?
Yeah. May I say something?
Give me 1 second, sir. Okay. We're in the middle of a motion.
How about the next 5 days or next three days, something like that?
Next 3 days, would you... Okay.
Yeah.
Within the next 3 days, and who had the second?
I'll second.
But
did someone already second?
I think it was.
I missed it. I don't think I don't even know if we got the second motion right now.
I see a second.
Okay. Will you accept that amendment to it? All right.
Sorry.
We're going to repeat it.
Did we also include adding the
respondent? Yeah, he just amended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The respondent.
All right.
3 days.
All right. We're going to restate the motion for clarity so that you know, Mr. Picarero. What we're doing is, by your own acknowledgement, finding you in noncompliance, allowing you until February 5th, 2014, to bring all other items into compliance except the securing of the accessory structure to the pool. We're asking that that be addressed within the next 3 days. And, again, please stay in contact with the inspector so that that item can be noted that it has been brought up to par, and we're adding you to the list of notifications. Are we removing?
Yes.
the others, or just adding for security? Mr. Jackson.
No, I don't believe anybody.
Okay. So we're adding Mr. Picarero to the respondents at this time. That is the motion on the floor. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Chair will like to take a 5-minute break at this moment, please.
Thank you.
In recess. Okay. Gotcha. We'll reconvene the board meeting. Case number CB011409, Louise P. Webb, property located at 418 Pleasant Street. Is the respondent present?
Yes, they're here. They just stepped out.
All righty. Okay. Come to the microphone, state your name, give us your address, and be sworn in, please.
My name is Louise Webb.
Your address, Ms. Webb?
315 Dealey Street, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to provide
is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I do. Ms. Webb, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Now, this is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. The staff, the initial position of staff was for noncompliance, next cutoff. However, we have had some communication today with Ms. Webb, and these are things that the staff knew, but just with a little bit more information that she's been working on it. She's taking care of some of the issues related to interior. It's a tenant complaint. It's a tenant-occupied property. She is in the process of trying to get it vacated, and so that's her delay. So we anticipate she's asking for additional time, and if the February cutoff, I mean the March cutoff is what she's asking for, then that's something we can agree with.
Okay. Ms. Webb, you can come on up. Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
No, I did not at the time of notice, but I went around to the property.
Do you acknowledge that the violations existed?
At yes,
the
time sir. Of I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead. What can you tell us, Ms. Webb? Sorry about that.
All I can tell you about the property, I had my husband overseeing the property, and the tenants that he had put in that property, they had kind of like demolished the property. And we could now, even now, every time I go around there to inspect the property, we can't get in to do anything. And I went around there one day, and I was going to send a plumber around there to do the plumbing. And the next time I went down, I couldn't get in the property. And so we're in the process now evicting them because for non-payment, they've been in the house. They've been avoiding us with payments and stuff, so we can go in there and correct everything that needs to be corrected.
How much time do you think you'll need, Ms. Webb?
I probably need about 3 months because I don't know the condition of the inside.
So we're looking at March?
Well, he recommended March.
March.
You're asking for March?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till March 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Ms. Webb, is given you until March to bring the property into compliance, and we ask again that you stay in contact with the inspector so that he can stay up to date along the way.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Case number CB011410, property located at 217 North Seneca Street. Property owner, 217 North Seneca Street Trust. Is the respondent present? You can come forward, sir, state your name, give us your address and your relationship to the trust.
Okay, Gerald McCreary. I'm trustee of 217 North Seneca Street Trust.
Okay.
Can you raise your hand, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. McCreary, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Okay, just in general, this is was a complaint-driven violation. at the time of my discussion with the inspector, who was John Stinson, it was vacant, and we had owner contact who said they had interest in cleaning up. That was Mr. McCreary. And so the staff position was next cut off, finding him in non-compliance and giving until next cut off to come into compliance. It has been expressed to me that Mr. McCreary says that there's some other situations that have come up, and we have not heard those yet, so you can address those as he raised them.
Okay. Mr. McCreary, before you begin your testimony, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Some exist.
Okay. What can you tell us, Mr. McCreary?
Okay, actually I did clean up around there quite a bit. I just acquired this property back in, not exactly sure like what month, but it was a tax deed property, and
okay.
People did not take care of it. Now at this time also the Sharif Gundy, he's a realtor for Daytona State College. He has a contract on this property and we're expecting it to be demolished. He called me over the holidays. He couldn't get in contact with the president to sign the contract. She's going to sign it and expect it to be voted on by the board of trustees of the college. So, it's going to be, we're expecting to get torn down, basically.
Let me make sure I got what you're saying, Mr. McCreary. You're the owner?
The trust.
Of the trust. And is the property sold to Daytona State? Or?
I'm a trustee. It's right there by the college, right behind all of those. And they're purchasing the property, and Sharif Gundy, the realtor,
okay,
has a contract, so we're waiting. So we just need a little more time to.
So someone's going to purchase the property.
The college.
The college is
from
going
the trust.
To.
And when they do purchase them,
then they're going to knock it down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have anything written like that shows that there is a contract or anything else.
Correct.
Right.
Like I said, the realtor took it to the president over the holidays, and we're waiting to get that signed, and I can get that to the board as soon as it's signed to show proof that the college is going to purchase it and demolish it.
To your knowledge, Mr. McCreary, when is the school meeting? I mean,
the next meeting, he told me, is January 30th, the trustee meeting at the college.
Mr. Stinson, to your knowledge, what's the time period after that process takes place that we would know if they've been able to get the permit?
I'd like to suggest that we come back next month for a progress report to see how this plays out, because this is the first I'm hearing about the college's involvement.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Did you have anything else, Mr. McCreary?
No.
All right. By acknowledgement of the respondent, we'll find the respondent in noncompliance and allow the respondent until February 5th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Mr. Chair, before you complete the motion, I would suggest instead that we find him in noncompliance and then continue for the determination of compliance, of a compliance date. I guess there's no anticipation. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. Okay, never mind. We'll do what you're doing. That's good.
About next month, he needs to bring the paperwork.
That's fine. We'll do what you're suggesting.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
That's all right. Find the respondent noncompliance, allow the respondent until February 5th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig. Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. McCreary, what we've done is we've found you non-compliance, allowed you till next month to bring the property into compliance. Recognizing what you've said, just stay in contact with the inspector so that we can be updated along the process, as this is a process to take place. And so if you keep the inspector updated, we'll know what we need to do at our next month meeting. You may not have to be here, but definitely please stay in contact with the inspector, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Any paperwork or contract purchase and sale, anything you need to give the staff needs to know about that. So tell your realtor to get your paperwork and get it to him.
Okay.
You know what's going on.
Okay. Right. Well, there's a realtor representing the college.
Right.
You mean that realtor?
Put that in touch with Mr. Stenson.
Okay.
All right.
Time that it is sold in the college, you're out of the picture, then. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Go back to...
I guess if one point I can make for Mr. McCreary before he leaves is just understand that if for some reason that falls through and that's not going to happen, which unfortunately won't know until the end of the month, then the expectation is that you're working on trying to get it into compliance.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Case number 15, which was CB1113131, Mohammed Kabaze. Again, the property located at 812 Magnolia Avenue. We're waiting for some clarity from staff. Mr. Kabaze has already been sworn in. If you can come back up, Mr. Kabaze, we will hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
What was determined in discussing the matter with permits and licensing is that they are waiting for the meter to be pulled, and so we would be asking for, before they issue the permit, that's something about its process, but we would be asking for compliance by next cutoff. They should said that should be resolved, issued, and they should be able to have it done by the next cutoff.
Okay. Is that amenable to you, Mr. Kabaze?
Yes, Your Honor. I just was approached by Michael, Mr. Fitzgerald, and he told me that there is a lady that's interested in purchasing the property. So I'm ready for the demolition, whatever you do want to do.
Okay. All righty. We definitely don't want to bring that up right now, but whatever you want to do, so be it. The chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until February 5th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Lucas, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion?
I don't want to put this off, whether or not
it is ready for demolition. That if the permit is done and if there's nothing
right,
happened.
And I'd like to ask Mr. Fitzgerald if he actually.
That's nothing before us.
Never mind.
Yeah, there's nothing.
So we will bring it up to compliance or keep the city informed.
All right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. All
aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Get your cases left. 8, 9, 10, and the internet.
Which one? For lien review?
No, the 8, 9, and 10. What about the internet's case? Are they here?
They're here.
Oh, let's do it.
Now we can do that one.
Which one?
8, 9, 19 on page 5.
Is the lien review here yet?
We did that.
We're looking for.
We sure did. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry. All right. So we're at number
19, page 5.
Number 19. Case number CB011401, Gregory Antonic, property located at 260 Williams Avenue. Is the respondent present? Mr. Antonic. If you can, Antonich, thank you, sir. If you can come forward, state your name for the record, your address, and be sworn in, please. And if you're going to be testifying, sir, you as well.
Yes, my name's Greg Antonich, 153 Dawn Drive, Ormond Beach, 32176.
Sir?
Mike Jenkins, 260 Williams Avenue, Daytona Beach.
All right, if you both can raise your hands and be sworn in, please. All right, we will hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, this is a violation of using or having business equipment at the home, using the home as a business, and this has been this matter has been before the board before regarding the business of Mr. Jenkins. And in this case, it would be an allegation that there was a chipper that was there in the on the driveway overnight. And based upon the complaints the staff is, upon its inspection, determined that it was there. It was at the property, and that's a violation of the what we've discussed before, and a violation of the Land Development Code as well. And so this would be a repeat violation, and the staff is asking for a fine to be imposed, a fine of $1,000. For the one-time violation. I don't know if you may want to make inquiries to whether they're willing to acknowledge that, and if not, then we'll prepare to present additional testimony if necessary.
Okay. Before I hear from the respondent, Mr. Jackson, just for clarity, the violation was that the equipment was there overnight or that it was there?
Well, the violation is that it was there the violation is that it was there. Now, the fence that can be a temporary period, like for a couple hours or something, but in this situation, it was overnight.
Okay. I'm asking for my clarity. Is it against code for it to be there or for it to be there for a certain period of hours?
Yes, against code for them to have equipment there. What we had before was a complaint of the equipment being used or that the business was being run from the property, and the elements of that or the examples of that was the equipment being there, being cleaned or utilized or whatever else the circumstance, or stored. In this situation, an overnight stay or leftover in the driveway would be an element of storage that extends beyond even a two-hour commercial equipment exception, if that's what they wanted to see.
Okay. Mr. Antonich, prior to your... Did I say your name right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Prior to your testimony, do you acknowledge that the violation occurred?
No.
Okay. What do you want to tell us, sir?
Can I possibly give you some information that might add some...
Give it to the secretary, please.
Violation first.
Mainly, you can share.
I'll ask him.
You want to, Mr. Steno?
Yes, sir, I can share.
Thank you.
I don't think the truck is a violation. I think it's that shifter.
He's going to have a problem.
Okay.
I know. Go ahead, Mr. Antonich, as we're reviewing.
What are we looking at?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. What you're looking at, well, can I ask a question first? Would you rather let the tenant whose equipment or vehicle answer the complaint first, or do you want me to address this first?
You're the owner. I'd like you to address all of it.
Yeah, wait a second. Do we have to hear the case first. He's denying the allegation, so that goes
right.
Now the burden shifts back to the city.
Right.
I'm sorry, I did ask.
We need to hear from the city.
Okay. That was my fault, Mr. Antonich. Let me hear from the staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you.
Okay, and... The staff will call first the inspector, Tom Klee.
This is a case where I've been getting numerous complaints from a neighbor about the gentleman running his business out of his house. We thought we resolved the problem. And what he had is his equipment was a complaint not only during the day but overnight. And then also he has police issues with this trailer parked, he said, within 2 hours, but it's still over 2 hours numerous times. So we're trying to resolve it. That's it's egregious. We get constant complaints from the neighbors. So the police captain will testify, and I think two other witnesses will testify, too.
Ms. Cleek, did you go out there?
Yes, I went out there, and I even learned from Mr. Jenkins. As you can see, I took a picture of him when he came back and moved it. His wife, when I issued a violation, said that he was in St. Augustine at the time, and that's all she told me, you know. So I told him, you know, I thought we had this prior issue a couple months ago when he was found in violation that he would never have any more equipment there because I believe he had moved his property towards the airport storage. He had a storage unit there where he got an occupational license. But again, like I said, equipment were appearing back at his house, and I didn't have any proof of the people complaining that there was employees coming in and out, but I was just concerned with the equipment. So,
our order of noncompliance, Mr. Jackson or Mr. Klig, in August, was this the same concern?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, in the order of noncompliance in August, the order was for a violation of Land Development Code 2.87, which is using that's the home business, and then the Article 17, Section 2.189, which is the parking of a commercial vehicle.
Okay.
It's commercial vehicles or equipment. So.
All right. Any other items, Mr. Jackson?
Well, I guess they want to tender them to any questions at all or any comments from the respondent if they wanted to ask them any questions, just so that we can be assured that they have adequate due process. I do have other witnesses, but if they have any specific question for Mr. Klieg, I'd ask that they be given a chance to ask him that now.
Mr. Antonik, do you have any questions at this time for Mr. Klieg as the...
Does this apply to both of us or just me, this part of the ability to ask questions?
Applies to both of you.
Okay.
Okay. I guess... First of all, I can only address this as a property owner and landlord. I'm not there every day.
Again, this is we have to hear their case. Okay. Then you go. Now, if you have the questions, do you have any questions of Mr. Klieg, either of you? That's where we are.
Tom, did you see the trailer there overnight?
Come on up the mic.
We have 500 pictures of my house, and that trailer was not there overnight. The trailer was brought there in the morning so that my wife could paint it. Well, I was in St. Augustine. It was supposed to be dropped off.
Okay,
the other
side. Mr. Sir.
But I'm saying.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
We don't have some water. It's not going to work.
Okay.
You got to ask them questions.
Okay.
And they present all their witnesses. Then you guys present all your witnesses, and they ask them questions.
I was under the impression I was allowed to have 2 hours at my property.
Right, no. That may be true, but it's right now with just the questions.
Did you see that trailer there for more than 2 hours?
This trailer, I did not.
No, I'm talking about
the chipper. Yes.
Okay, you took pictures at 10:13 in the morning.
Right.
Where's your picture at 12:13?
Wait a minute, 12:30.
Two hours later. That was moving. It was
you can see.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We're going to maintain order.
Okay, no, I'm sorry.
This is not an opportunity for you to rebut each question that you ask him. I need you to ask him your questions, and then we'll give you an opportunity to present your side. At this time, all you need to do is ask Mr. Klieg questions, and he will give a response. If you want to bring up anything with regards to response, please take notes, and you can bring that up. This is not an opportunity for a debate to go back and forth. Any questions that you have for Mr. Klieg?
At 10:13 in the morning, you took a picture of my trailer, right?
Yeah, 10:13, and I came back for reinspection at 5, and then I came back the next morning when I think I seen you got out of the truck.
Okay, the next morning. But that trailer was gone 2 hours. Okay, now the trailer was gone 2 hours later. My wife called me. I had it moved. So it was gone 2 hours later, so I was in compliance, so there should have never been a violation. Because you came back on the 5th, and it was gone. I don't know how you're trying to say I was violated. If you would have came back at 12:13 and took a picture, like all these pictures, then I would agree with you I was in violation. That trailer was there at 10:13, and it was gone by 12:13. So I don't feel I was
I disagree. It was there at 5 before I left, too, and then also the next morning.
Well, you didn't show me a picture because you have pictures. You take pictures every time you come to my house.
Okay. Again, we're going back and forth, and that's not what we're here to do.
Well,
do you have any questions?
I just know that the trailer wasn't there for more than 2 hours.
Do you have any more questions for Mr. Klieg?
No, I'm done.
All right. Mr. Jackson, any other witnesses?
Yes. The city would call Captain Newcomb with Daytona Beach Police Department.
Okay. Captain, good morning, Captain
morning.
Newcomb. If you can go ahead and raise your right hand and be sworn in, please, sir.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And just please state your name for the
record. James Newcomb, Captain for Daytona Beach Police Department.
Morning, sir.
Morning.
Mr. Jackson, if you will.
Okay, Captain Newcomb. just a moment. Let me make sure we got to... Just state your name so we have that for the record.
He did.
Okay, and your occupation?
Police captain.
Okay, and somehow were you involved in inspecting a complaint of a chipper on the property? Of 260 Williams Avenue?
My involvement with the chipper part was I drove by at one point when Mr. Klieg told me. I couldn't give you the exact time. It's more historical. We've received complaints from two neighborhood watch groups and resident on the street, one maybe more, I'm not sure, and about the issues. We met with Mr. Jenkins several months ago, and since then my officers have gone by and checked the location. It's been confrontational at times. It seems that there's an attempt to keep moving things around. The neighbors, the officers, I believe there's some part of the business being run from there, storage and stuff. Now, whether someone's running out and moving them at just under 2 hours, I think the intent is to avoid having this done in the neighborhoods for the quality of life issues. It's obvious that it's going on to what extent. I don't have people that, unfortunately, that can, you know, stand by for the whole time and watch it. But it keeps coming up, not only from one source, but from multiple sources at different group meetings and stuff. And that was just most of my involvement. The officers that were involved, there's probably three or four. They're, unfortunately, night shift sleeping right now, but they kind of drove by, and there's computer-aided dispatch comments about what was observed.
Any other questions? Mr. Jackson?
Those computer-aided dispatch, they indicated they have observed vehicles and activity?
The computer-aided dispatch comments are either vehicles or I think there were two of the trailer. Again, they didn't have time to come back 2 hours later to check if it was there. It may have been moved at 3 o'clock in the morning. It may have been moved at 7 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't tell you for sure.
Mr. Jackson?
I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Antonich, and what was your last name, sir? Mr. Jenkins, any questions for Captain Newcomb?
I'm not aware of any other neighbors or groups, so I'd like specific information or evidence that they may or that they would like to present if they are claiming that that's the case.
We don't keep records. Seabreeze Neighborhood Watch Group, Beller Neighborhood Watch Group. I didn't take notes. They give us a complaint and we look into it. We don't, you know, dig into the name and date.
Right. It's just a generated complaint from the Neighborhood Watch. Okay.
I am involved with them and know the person that heads that up. They've never mentioned this to me once. And they know that I own a property in the neighborhood.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Captain Newcomb?
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Jackson, any other witnesses? Thank you, Captain Newcomb.
The city will call Big John.
Medium John. You come forward and please be sworn in. State your name and address for the record, please.
Big John, 120 State Avenue, Holly Hill, or on the hill.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jackson, your witness.
I didn't even know I was going to be a witness.
And Big, I guess that's really the question. What knowledge do you have of these items being on the property, specifically as to on
260.
January 5th and 6th?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Compliments to Code Board Amy for keeping us all involved. Very nice job. My friend Pete, we work on projects together. Pete is a peaceful man. So I kept hearing about Jenkins and the fact that he's trashed up the neighborhood. And he plays his game. He moves things now and then. The chipper was there a couple weeks, not every 2 hours. And Greg is a really good guy. Greg Antonich, right behind me, is a really good guy. And I don't think he understands what Jenkins is doing to the neighborhood. It's too bad. So I'm here because Pete's sort of shy. Maybe is Pete a witness too? Oh yeah. Okay. So he'll probably come up here, but he doesn't want to come up here and talk. He'd rather be building something. You know, that's what he does for a living.
Any other questions?
I observed the trailers and Jenkins. He is confrontational. There's no doubt about that. And he said he'll see me in court and took pictures. I took pictures of all the trailers, all of the. It's worse than the pictures. See? So there's another bigger trailer than those. And, you know, it's just not the kind of thing you'd want in your neighborhood. So he told me he'd see me in court and tried to, you know, scare me.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Jackson?
I have no other questions for Big.
All righty, Mr. Antonich or Mr. Jenkins, any questions for Big John?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Any other witnesses, Mr. Jackson?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Judge. The city will call Mr. Pressman, I believe it is. Pete?
Hi, Peter Pressman, 263 Williams.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Could you spell your last name for me, please?
P-R-U-T-S-M-A-N.
Mr. Jackson, your witness.
Mr. Pressman, are you a resident there on Williams Avenue?
Yes.
Okay, and what's your the proximity of your home to 260 Williams?
Across the street.
You're across the street. Okay. As a cross street neighbor, have you seen equipment there?
Yes.
Okay, specifically this chip equipment that we're showing up here on January 5th and 6th. Did you see that?
Yes.
At the property. And what was the time period that you saw it?
It was at least 2 weeks. They were painting it and putting signage on it and stuff.
Okay. And you ever had any contact specific to that chipper with your neighbor?
No, I was told by code to call the police whenever there was, you know, any vehicles showing up there so they could chalk the tires or document it.
Okay, and right now we're specifically talking about the chipper, but were there any utilization of equipment on the property during that time period?
Using it? No.
Some people, okay, just...
Well, the chipper you have to take to the job to...
Okay, so it was just present and it was there.
Yes.
But it was there for a two-week period. Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Antonik or Mr. Jenkins, any questions?
Yes.
Was Mr. Jenkins previously a tenant of yours?
I don't think that has anything to do with this.
What would be the relevance of that question, Mr. Antonik?
Well, if he can acknowledge that, then I can. The relevance is that he was a tenant of this gentleman.
Not in violation here.
Previously.
Hold on one second, Mr. Pressman.
When Mr. Jenkins was this gentleman's tenant, he did not seem to have any issue with whatever vehicles were kept at the property at that time. And then Mr. Jenkins moved across the street to this property. And I think that there's a number of other questions I have for him that lead to some insight as to this situation, which has, I think, digressed to the point of harassment. And he has a... Do you have a camera trained on my house from your property?
Mr. Antonik, your question of Mr. Jenkins' previous residence has no relevance. Do you have any questions for Mr. Pressman regarding this particular issue at this time?
Yes. Do you have a camera trained on my property from your property?
I don't think that's relevant, if I do or not.
It's relevant if he's claiming that he has evidence of some sort or the time frames of these alleged vehicles.
Let me state up front, Mr. Antonik, based on the evidence that's been presented to us already, this is not a one-sided issue. We have multiple concerns of the alleged violation occurring. If it was a matter of single concerns, then your questions may have some relevance. But that's irrelevant at this time because it's not a single-sided concern of this equipment being at the property. So, do you have any questions of relevance with regards to the matter before us today?
Yes. How many times have you called the police or code enforcement regarding the property at 260 Williams?
Again, I'm going to have to...
How can that not be relevant?
He knows.
Okay.
That is irrelevant because it's... You need to answer the question, Mr. Pruitt. Yes, if you don't know, you don't know.
I don't know how many
times. Okay, then you can say I don't know, but you have to answer the question.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Antonik?
Yes, along that same line, does he know or can you answer of all these multiple times that you've called the police or code enforcement that an actual violation was found?
I don't know exactly.
Yeah. Mr. Obviously, Antonik, he would not be aware of a notice of violation. As a caller, if you will, only you as the owner would be aware of a violation that has been issued. He is not privy to you, the owner, being violated.
I would only be noticed by the city following through on a violation, I believe.
Right. He would not have notice of it. You're asking him, was he aware of any violations issued to you? He would not be aware of that.
Well, my question wasn't what violations. How many that were legit complaints that were found legitimate? Maybe Mr. Jenkins should be asking these questions instead of me, because he's the one that he is being accused of this.
I understand your question, but understand he, as a resident, would not be privy to how many violations your property has. Only you, as the owner, okay, would have that information. Any other questions?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
If you can just step over to the mic, please, sir, Mr. Jenkins, so that we can, it's all being recorded.
Two weeks ago, when I brought my truck and trailer home at lunch, did you call the police on me right away?
Do I have to answer that? I mean, that's supposed to be. I was supposed to be anonymous. So.
If you don't know, say if you know, you answer yes. If you don't know, say I don't know.
Well, yes, I did call the police.
And
that, yes.
Okay. And so why, when my chipper was there for, you say, 2 weeks, did you not call the police the first day it was there, like you have done it every time I've ever brought anything home, within 10, 15 minutes, I have a policeman at my house.
Please.
Why was it there for 2 weeks without you calling code enforcement or...
Mr. Jenkins, let's again, let me preempt by stating a violation was recorded. We are here today to make a determination whether this is a repeat violation. Your responsibility is to show us that it's not a repeat violation. We have evidence to show that the equipment was there. My encouragement is to stick to the matters of fact that are before us, not why wasn't the call made earlier, later, sooner, whenever. But let's stick with the facts that are before us. Again, not to preempt you, Mr. Pressman, but you do have an opportunity to respond to his question if you would like.
Well, I just have confidence in code enforcement that they were going to be, you know, patrolling, coming by and checking on the will fine.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
No other questions.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Jackson, any other witnesses?
No other witnesses.
I'd like to make one small statement, but I can't.
Hold on.
No other witnesses. And so
you can do whatever you want. You can ask questions, you can
state I just want to state to the board that I have a commercial location. I'm licensed in another city. This thing of me bringing equipment home all the time is completely, you know, I might come home for lunch or something and drive a truck home, and I'm gone. Okay, I had a meeting with the chief of police, Captain Newcomb, the city attorney, my attorney, me, and Officer Clay here. And I was told that as long as I moved my equipment within 24 hours or on my property within 2 hours, I was not in violation of anything. Okay, so everybody's saying that I'm storing all this equipment at my house is completely false.
You drove the chipper?
No.
You weren't coming home from lunch in the chipper.
But I told you earlier, someone dropped the chipper off because my wife was going to finish
cleaning. That's not where it's supposed to be.
I know that. I have a spot on the other side of my house that's open that I'm legal to park it at. The person who dropped it off didn't put it there. He put it over here. And that's why when Mr. Clay came over, I moved it. Okay, so, what I'm trying to say is I've had a commercial location for, you know, since this all, once I got out of a meeting with the chief of police and everybody, I went out and I rented a commercial location, and that's where I keep my equipment. My equipment does not come home. I mean, I thought I was in conformance because I had 2 hours. I mean, it wasn't, you know, if you look at it, it's almost all we've done. It was just going to be touched up. It was red.
Evidently, the testimony that I'm hearing is that the chipper was there for longer than that period of time. You weren't simply coming home for lunch and touching
this. This is in the morning, and it was not there for.
Said there was painting. It had to be painted.
You have 500 pictures of my vehicles up here. Show me a picture that it was there overnight. That's all. That's all I ask. Mm-hmm.
But let me do this, so that we can restore some order again.
Okay.
Mr. Jenkins or Mr. Antonik, at this time, what testimony would you like to present? And then members of the board will have time for us to ask our questions on both sides. Do you have any testimony or any witnesses?
The only other thing is that I've already given Greg my 30-day notice of moving out of the village. I mean, you guys have basically run me out of the village because of this whole thing that's been over the last 7 or 8 months.
I'm going to pause you right there. We are in no position to force anyone to move. I just want to correct that statement.
With the ongoing harassment and the cameras on my house,
okay.
You know, I mean, it's gotten too old. So I've already given him my 30-day notice. I'm out of the village. So, I mean, okay.
All right. Any witnesses that you would like to call, Mr. Antonic?
No, sir.
Well, now we can ask our questions. All righty. At this time, any questions from the board for either the city or Mr. Antonic or Mr. Jenkins? Mr. Harrington?
The reason that I brought this, I'd just like to point out, these are contemporaneous photos in the last few days in the immediate neighborhood within a couple of blocks of the subject property. I do believe that it's relevant because from the city's perspective and the storage of vehicles or having business vehicles on properties, it's there today, it was there yesterday, it'll be there tomorrow throughout. I quit taking photos because there's so many of them. And if you look at the photos, there's trucks, there's work vehicles, there's properties with two work vehicles that are there every single day. And the relevance to this board, in my opinion, is that that's the nature of that neighborhood. Unless you want to hire someone else full-time for the city, if someone actually complained for every one of these, you'd have to have a full-time person to address it. That's how prevalent it is. Mm-hmm. And the relevance in this particular matter in front of the board, in my opinion, is that Mr. Jenkins has a neighbor that was previously his landlord who has an axe to grind with him and has called the city repeatedly, numerous times, and the vast majority of those times, to the best of my knowledge, Mr. Jenkins was found to be in compliance and it was a non-issue in terms of a violation. Okay? So I feel as a landlord, I don't support people that don't uphold the law. Okay? And as soon as this came to my attention back in like August, I met with Mr. Jenkins and I spoke with two or three people at the city to get an understanding of the law and what the violation that was addressed back at the time. Once that issue was addressed and I met with Mr. Jenkins and said, look, you really need to make sure you get a business license or store properties off-site. Don't bring this stuff. So there's a question of a violation. Everybody was involved back then, and to my knowledge, and maybe the city wants to readdress or answer your questions, I thought this issue was resolved. I thought it had been handled, and I was not aware of any further problems ongoing with the property. So I thought this issue was handled. Recently, I guess, the neighbor has called again when he comes home for lunch. He called on this chipper. And now that we're at this hearing, the specific question in front of the board for this hearing is whether this is a violation and or whether it's a repeat violation. My understanding is it's two different questions. One was having to do with a home business and a work vehicle that was out front on the public right-of-way, and now we're talking a work equipment on the property, which I think, from what I've been told, is two different things to start with. And this particular violation, you've heard from Mr. Jenkins, he can answer this again. I don't see any direct evidence from the city that this was, in fact, a violation where it's backed up with the time and the whatever the requirement is to demonstrate that.
Sir, you had time to take these pictures, so hold on. So you're saying you never saw any of the things on your own property. You had the time to look at everybody else's property. You're saying you never saw any of these potential violations on your own property.
No, sir. This was me going out of my way because of this hearing. the previous time when this came up, to go back to what I tried to establish originally with the person that's done these complaints, is that the first time that I ever saw his work-related vehicle was when it was across the street on another person's property. Okay? Since the time that
Excuse
he moved...
Excuse me, how long ago was that?
I would say a little over a year ago.
Okay.
Since that time, no, sir, I don't go by there unless I have a reason to go by there. And once in a while during that time, when I've gone by to meet him for rent or something, I have not seen big trucks or what are those things? A trailer over there. Maybe a big pickup truck or something, yes.
You know, one of these pictures, I think to be it's obvious, the Bright House truck. I don't know if they let their employees take their trucks home.
It's there.
Every day.
It's old. This is throughout the neighborhood, to put this into perspective. And so I'll answer any questions you have regarding this specific instance.
I just want to observe that those pitches that you took, they were all multiple, and seem like the chipper is not self-movable. Do you think that could be what really sort of upset them that
Ma'am, I think that in some of these pictures there's, for example, I've got, if you want, there's plenty more with non-movable. I stopped taking pictures. There's so many.
Well, I'm glad. Excuse me, but let him respond.
Let him respond, Ms. Klinik, please.
There's both all over the neighborhood. In one of those photos, you'll see a work trailer with a block in front of it, where they keep that at a property a couple of blocks from here permanently, day in and day out, weekends and so on. And the chipper, I don't know. I wasn't there. All I can go by as the landlord is what the tenant's telling me and what the city's telling me. I don't want this to be an ongoing problem for the city or the neighborhood. And I'm just saying that in this specific violation, I don't have anything other than what he's told me or evidence that it was there longer than the required time for this violation.
Can I ask one question just in response to those comments? Just one question. Well, it's actually two questions for Ms. Antonik.
That's right.
It's spelled wrong here, I guess. Antonik. No, that's right. That's good. You spelled it right. Mr. Antonik, you took all of those pictures. Did you file any code complaints regarding any of those?
I just took those photos a few days ago.
That's just a yes.
No.
Okay. And do you have any knowledge whether any code actions have been taken regarding any of those photos?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
I'm having a hard time talking about these pictures that you took, because I think they have no relevance to this case whatsoever. Your generalization that that's just what the neighborhood does is, I find, just that, a generalization in your opinion. And I don't think it has any relevance to this case at all. So I'd like to just kind of move along and let's get going here.
I would ask if you could just make a final summary and turn it over to the board.
If there's any more questions to the board, then we'll give both an opportunity.
Any other questions from the members of the board? Okay. At this time, we'll allow for summations. Summarize this possible, please. Mr. Jackson, and then for Mr. Antoni.
Oh, I did miss one opportunity to ask a question of Mr. Jenkins as well. But I guess I'll pass on that and just mention it here in my final summary here. The testimony is that the inspector went to the home and was told that even for this event, which we're discussing now, that Mr. Jenkins wasn't in town. And so it's hard for me to understand how he would say that, what the time periods were. And obviously, as he expressed, if a piece of equipment was there being painted, the likelihood that it was there for 2 hours is not very high. It's not highly likely. I really don't have a whole lot. The only other thing that I felt of most importance that I do want to just ask the board to consider is that Mr. Antonich. hey, help me. It's almost my name. I should get this. Mr. Antonich says that he took the time and the effort to go look into all these other properties. And I think it's pretty much what was said by Mr. Harrington as well. But with all those photos, we don't see him addressing the issues on the property which he owns. And as a property owner, this is a situation where Mr. Antonich, who has put on notice from the prior violation and the notice that this could come up again. Mr. Antonich acknowledges that he was well aware that maybe he does have neighbors that may be a little bit more difficult from his perspective, and would be even more reason to give a little more diligence in checking the property and ensuring that its tenant was complying by the last order of the board. And in this case, he himself says he went there very infrequent as a property owner. So he did go out his way to find other violations, but missed his own. And all the testimony says that the violations occurred, and I just ask you to find them in violation. And the request of staff is that, again, the general testimony, as you heard, and even the hearsay testimony of the officers, is that there was some aspect of a cat-and-mouse game going on here. And that, along with the numerous complaints, which was estimated at between law enforcement and code, as much as 20 to 30 complaints, that this owner should be found in noncompliance, and the staff is asking for a fine of $1,000 be imposed.
Mr. Antonich, if you can give us your closing statement, please, sir.
Okay. Well, a number of things were just brought up that I need to address. First of all, my involvement in the previous.
I know I'm speaking for staff, but I guess in the same way that Mr. Antone and both Mr. Jenkins is able to speak, if I can just ask the staff to hear briefly from Mr. Clegg.
Mr. Clegg wants to present a closing statement as well.
Just one or two comments.
No problem, and I apologize for them interrupting you, Mr. Antonich.
The only thing else I need to say, it was anonymous complaints in the neighborhood. It wasn't just a gentleman across the street, I guess, if you call the police, I'm not aware of, but numerous complaints from the Bel Air community. The fine of his business equipment doesn't say time limit. It said it should not be placed on our property at all. So even if he had to paint for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, it shouldn't have been there at all according to the land development code. So it was a relevant time limit. If it was 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it shouldn't have been there at all.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Jackson?
Nothing further. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Clegg, anything else?
No, sir.
All right.
Well, I guess now we have another thing that's been brought up. Can I ask Mr. Clegg a question?
At this time, it's summaries only. You can just make statements.
Okay. I want it on record that my comments regarding the previous situation were brought to my attention because of the tenant and the city. And as an owner, the heir of this is trying to find me responsible for someone else's behavior in a way. I think it's I have not been to the property when these things were here. Okay, the day that I took these photos, there was nobody at the property. There was nothing to take a photo of. I could go by there day in and day out and never find these vehicles or whatever at this property trying to take a photo. If you're trying to put the onus on me to try to find if my own tenant is doing something that he should or should not. I did not support the tenant if it was what he was doing was wrong and we thought we had this resolved. As a landlord, I got involved and tried to remedy this situation. Okay, going forward, it's the same thing. I don't support and would not support this going on going forward. Okay, as a landlord, in the previous situation, I did not receive these notifications that he claims and had this awareness, because everything apparently has been sent to the property address and not to me. When I was made aware of that recently, I contacted the city and gave them my address and got access to the previous file information, which I did not have access to before. Okay, I think that even though, you know, some members of the board think that it's not relevant, I think that it is relevant when the neighborhood is of a nature of this, which is obvious, and I don't think people should keep vehicles there that are work-related permanently, regularly, or what have you, if that does not meet code. But in this particular situation, I think you have almost the equivalent of selective enforcement because of one neighbor calling multiple times. Okay? Even though they say it's neighborhood watch, I don't know, have any evidence to that effect. And no one from neighborhood watch, and those people know me, has ever mentioned this problem. This property is a problem to me before. Okay? So I can just say that going forward, I don't support this. I wouldn't support it. I don't think that hearsay evidence counts in a code violation case of whether something's there or not. And I guess if someone comes home for work with their truck, including the police, because there were police vehicles at houses in the neighborhood also, are they not allowed to come home for lunch? Or I don't know how all this works, because it seems like this is all over the board in terms of the stories of how this is supposed to work. Okay? So I don't think I should be fined for something I've tried to remedy that was just brought to my attention and is very likely not to happen again and would not happen with my knowledge.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Antonik. Mr. Jenkins, did you have anything you would like to close with?
The only thing I have is that, I mean, here there's other, since the board in August found that, you know, no non-compliance thing, there's been other complaints right here which would have pictures attached to them, which there's nothing on my property. This one right here is from Tom. It's got two pictures attached. Shows nothing. Here's another one. Shows nothing. So this isn't something like, you know, I mean, this is... The way it makes it sound is that I'm bringing equipment home every night, this and that. Okay, it's not that way. I'm paying $800 a month for a commercial property. That's where I'm storing my stuff. Okay, but I don't feel if I'm doing a job in Daytona, I need to drive back to Holly Hill to drop my trailer off to go home and have lunch. Okay, this isn't only my commercial equipment. I've had the police call on me when I brought my boat home to rinse it. You know, as soon as I brought my boat home, 15 minutes later, I had the police at my house. So this isn't just commercial equipment, and all the trucks and trailers have been found to be not commercial vehicles. They do not meet the commercial standards of a vehicle in the city. So by parking those on, you know, there is a time limit. So they're not, but that's all I have to say. You know, this is
hold on 1 second, Neil.
Huh?
No questions. No questions at this time. So our time has expounded on questions for them. They're giving their closing statements. Okay. All righty. At this time, considering the testimony we've heard, Chair will entertain any motions that we may have. Just to remind the board, staff is asking for a $1,000 fine for a repeat violation.
I make motion that to fine the respondent in repeat violation and to be fined $1,000.
Motion made. Is there a second?
A second.
Motion has been made and properly seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Antonik, the board has fined you $1,000 for a repeat violation of parking of business equipment at your property, sir. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Can somebody please give me the information on which city attorney I need to contact to appeal this decision?
That information can be provided by Mr. Jackson.
Yeah, it's found in Florida Statutes, Chapter 162.11, and it's would not be an appeal to the city, but appeal to the court.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Case numbers 8, 9, and 10, we'll hear them separately, but independently, or we'll hear them. Yeah, well, let's hear them. Case number 8, which is CB 1013111, Ocean Breeze Homeowners Condominium Association, property located at 439 Auburn Avenue. I believe their attorney is present. If you can state your name for the record, sir.
Good morning. My name is Stephen D. LaRoche for the Ocean Breeze Condominium Association.
Mr. De La Roche, we will hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. Will you be testifying also, sir?
Yes.
Yes.
And your name?
I'm Stephen Van Arnum. I'm the general contractor for the Homeowners Association.
Excuse Mr. Van Arnum, if you will raise your hand and be sworn in, please, sir.
Good to see you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Van Arnum. Mr. De La Roche, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I know we're taking 8, I think you said we're going to take 8, 9, and 10 separately, but they're all collected. It's all the same issue. And the general position of staff at this point is that you may recall that we had an issue of Ms. Appleby and some issues of being able to access the property to do the repairs. And the last time we were before the board, it was expressed that they seemed to have worked that out, and the inspector to some degree may have been mediating or something to make sure that was happening. At this point, they have been working. It's they're waiting for the permit inspections from the trade permits. They've been working together. It's in process. The staff's position is that we give them till next cutoff because they are getting it done. They're working on it, and it is the holdup appears to be just getting the reinspection on the permits.
So this matter should be resolved by February 5th.
That's the belief and expectation of the staff.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Mr. De La Roche, staff is proposing that we give you till February 5th, but any testimony you want to present at this time, you can do so, sir.
I really don't feel that any testimony is necessary. We're in agreement. It should be, you know, weather permitting, everything finished by February 5th, and we'd appreciate it if the board would grant us that extension.
Okay. Anything, Mr. Van Arnum?
No, sir. That's exactly what I talked to Mr. Fitzgerald about. They've been very helpful and very, very, I guess the lady's a little hard to work for, but she was right. She's got some problems, and we've tried to fix it. We fixed as many as we can to this point. We'll continue to do the work.
All righty. And just because you're before us now, Mr. Van Arnum, I just want to clear up your earlier concern. We give a courtesy to anyone that has a matter before us of allowing them extra time the same day.
The same size.
Gotcha.
It just doubled up. The board didn't understand that I was going to be here, and they were worried about that they were going to get slammed with a fine. And
fine.
So that's the reason.
All right. Gotcha. All right, any questions from the board?
No. Yes, I'd like to know what is remaining to be done.
Mr. Van Arnum.
I have that, Ms. Van.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. As far as I know, we need to fix the window outside.
One window?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
One window outside, and then repair the damage to the window on the inside, which is a plaster job. We've cleaned the walls. Completely removed and replaced the upstairs bathroom. We've taken the walls out, and we have a plumbing permit and a building permit. Second floor kitchen stops for the sinks have been replaced. Value Electric has done an inspection to make sure there's no problem with the electric on the water. There's a new tub and shower, sink valves. All plumbing has been checked by a certified plumbing contractor. The water has stopped as far as from any water source, like the bathrooms and all that. That was a problem. I'll address the outside window, and then there's some drywall that we took down to make sure that the water was dried up and everything was clean in there. We've cleaned the walls that had mold on them. And they're concrete walls. They're not like it's actually a concrete wall with stucco on it, like the outside of the house, but it's inside. Mm-hmm. So we completely cleaned them with chemical and washed them down so that they didn't smell bad. She's very happy at this point in time with the work we've done. We'll continue to do the work that Mr. Fitzgerald has outlined that he wants me to do, and I have the board's approval to do that. So we're just continuing along the lines we've been doing.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Did we do motions yet? All right. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until February 5th, 2014, to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order for case number CB1013112, allowing the respondent till February 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order for case number CB1013113, amending our previous order allowing the respondent till February 5th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
No.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington. Seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That exhausts our agenda. Any miscellaneous business at this time?
I'd like to thank the board again for accommodating my schedule. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Is public participation?
We already had you up here.
You too, Steve. If you need anything, give me a call.
4:30. 4:20. Thursday.
Okay.
Thank you.
No. Any miscellaneous business? Any items from staff?
So just have one question, one point, and I thought we should talk about it. I didn't want to really argue about it. I don't know if it really needed argument, and it may even be a change of position for staff. But when we have a property owner that's foreclosed from a property was initially filed against the property owner, I'm wondering if we're really right to maintain them on the violation, seeing that they're not really able, they involuntarily separated from the property and they don't have no means or authority to enter in to do anything. So, we maybe should be removing them and replacing them with the new owners as opposed to maintaining them.
You're right, sir.
Yeah.
A good deal.
Because the violation.
Them.
Right, and they cannot. Well, they can't remedy it. There's nothing they can do. Now, when we have people who voluntarily separate themselves from property, they should remedy it before the separation, and so that's the reason we keep them on.
And okay. Normally, in this instance, we would have probably withdrawn and recited, but we did have a responsive person who told her that a new owner that had come in saying he's willing to be here
I think you're correct.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll I don't know how what our history is. I couldn't remember, and I think like Amy is saying, more often if we recite, we don't even have to worry about that. But in that situation, I was just thinking that we had the one that came up today, and my thought was maybe that we should have just cut them loose. So maybe we can just kind of readdress it quickly and get it clarified. I don't know. Maybe I'm clarifying it now. We could do it at the end of the meeting. So we can just clarify for the.
I guess we won't need a motion because there's no legal reason for us to bind them to that case. So that's a matter of legality that we really can't bind them to something they're no longer affiliated
with. Doesn't it matter that who owned it at the time of violation?
It does. But I think when they are voluntarily separated from it, then they have the means and ability to remedy it.
Right.
But when it's an involuntary separation, such as foreclosure, there's nothing that they can do to remedy it. And it's, we have to believe, even if they went in and abandoned it, we have to believe that had they had the ability, they may have done something.
Right.
You don't know.
Is that something we need to readdress or just law future?
I guess, Charlie, as far as on the one that we made the amendment, we'll just so it's appropriate for her to make that clear on the on that case when you readdress it. I guess, what do you normally do? Change the style. Yeah, because it was more of a procedural statement and acknowledgement for him to be at it. And so what I'm doing now is it's not detrimental to the person for removal, so that's not a problem. So we'll just remove him.
No. Any other items from staff?
Thank you, Charlie.
You don't usually have public big comments.
No. I think the law says that you must. You want me to check it with the sunshine? No, not then, but now. Okay, so Big John, 120 State Avenue on the Hill. I want to compliment Your Honor and the members of the board. I think the reason Peaceful Pete is here, and you could tell he didn't want to be here, is because I'm a government junkie, and I believe the government occasionally does things right. And Mr. Jackson, you were eloquent today, and Tom Sieg was nice. He did a very good job, and the captain and everybody else. And I called in complaints, and nobody gave me credit for it. I talked to the police chief. I talked to Hector, the king of code enforcement. I talked to everybody. So, but I would like to, besides complimenting this board, this may be the only time you get a compliment, and I will compliment you to my 19 listeners this afternoon on the air. I did want to put in a complaint. Maybe I should do it with Code Board Amy, but 800 Seagrave is a real chop shop. Any of you know what a chop shop is, where they cut up?
Because we may hear the case, and they're not noticed of it.
Right.
So
just
I'm sorry? What was that?
Don't tell us.
Oh, I'm just putting on the record.
Yeah, we may hear the case, and they'll say we heard it.
No. I'm just letting you know that maybe Hector could send whoever's in charge of that area by to take a glimpse of it. Is that you, Tom? How lucky could I get? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other items for miscellaneous business?
Happy New Year.
Closing comments from board members. Ms. Lucas? Any items? Ms. Himes? Ms. Kundig?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Pull your mic over.
Are we on the record?
We're still on.
I think that we could spend a little more time, or whoever's responsible, that maybe the spirit of working with the city and getting the idea of permits and how this board works cleared up so that it's in a fashion. Because I don't think it's always fair to say it's your responsibility to this and your these are citizens who pay the bills, and I think we need to have a system that makes it easy for them to work with us.
Can I speak to that?
Sorry.
I suggested to the inspector, and I'll go ahead and follow up. My thought is to bring someone from permits to address your concerns and be able to speak to, so we can all understand and know how that process works, and if they are doing something that would be confusing or misleading, that they're aware of the concern of the board so that they can address it internally as well.
You know, there was some discussion about connecting all the different departments so that one side knew what the other side was doing, so that if somebody had been before code board and then went to get a permit, that would pop right up on the computer, and then they would know, and all they would have to say is you have a code violation, so even though you need to, you know, just let them know that that comes first. That supersedes.
Well, we have a process.
The 6 months.
And all of them have that access to be able to. It probably does pop up. And so that's why I don't know. Maybe they really do acknowledge it. I don't know what they do. And that's why it would be fair to bring a supervisor or someone up to come and address you guys. So hopefully we can do that for the next code meeting. And I'll ask Amy to put a note, remind me as well.
Not put a note to
I was just going to add, Mr. Jackson, I don't know the
and
necessity of them coming to us versus us going on the record, letting you all handle this with the powers that be, letting there know that there needs to be some intercommunication. I mean, again, a code enforcement person coming here isn't going to do anything versus us expressing the need for there to be intercommunication within the city.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm just to set you guys at ease. So I think it's internal, and I think that love would come and make sure that they're, you know, that they're addressing and they're okay. concerned about the things that you're concerned about. So,
in the case of the 13 flagpoles, where somebody has gone through an entire system, comes up with plans the size of these tables, and everybody signed off, and then all of a sudden he's coded because he can't fly more than 6 flags.
Right.
That puts us in a really weird position.
Yeah. Gotcha. I guess the positive is that it, at least to the point of reaching the level of exposure and frustration, it's a relatively rare thing. Hopefully it's rare all the way through.
Gotcha. All right. Any other items?
Oh, yeah. That's one item that we almost overlooked. We thought it appears that as we look at our elections of officers, that's an annual thing, so we need to at least address it somewhere. If not now, next.
Usually, it's the first meeting in January. So
yeah.
Stick it on next month.
So.
I'll let you know about it.
So it is annual. So we.
Yeah, it has to be put on the agenda. It has to be an agenda item.
Yeah, I think the only thing I think there was some thought that it was that it was every other year or every 2 years, but I think the 2 year was the term limit.
Terms. Okay.
And I think y'all have previously addressed that, and specifically with chairs and extending those. If y'all saw that.
Put on the January meeting. If not, February meeting is fine.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? We're adjourned.
Thank you.